WildTalkRadio.com.
There you are. Come on in. I've been waiting for you.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I have no followers. I have only brothers and sisters, all in the name of cause. People are sheep. You understand me? They can't lead themselves. They need to be led. People buy and sell fear. They worship war. They crave war. And I'm not afraid of their wars. I created war. I think it's time for the masses to wake up. Wake up and look at this lie they're living in, man! The world is deteriorating between their toes, and they do nothing about it. They only stand there, they whisper and wonder, but they never do anything about it. But I've seen it all in my dreams and in my thoughts, and above everything else, I understand this is not the beginning. It's the end.
With your host...
You can love, but you can't touch.
Stickers!
Lindsay Ward.
She never said that this would be easy. They will lie to you, she said. They will try to denounce you, she said. They will try to steal your gift, and she was right. Sister Abigail always spoke the truth, and so do I. So when I tell you that I knew this day would come, I am not telling you a lie. And on this day, in this moment in time right now, this very second, I can truly say that I have the whole damn world in my hand.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hand. He's got the whole world in his hand. Sing with me, children. How about the big bad monster? He's got the big bad monster in his hand. He's got the big bad monster in his hand. In his hand, he's got the hope.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Too much power. That can be a very, very scary thing. Not for me, of course, but for all of you. So I say unto you, open your ears and I will sing you a beautiful melody. Open your eyes and I will show you the wonders of this world. Walk by my side and I will lead you to paradise. Stand in my way and you will burn in the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to the era of Wyatt.
Let me in.
Yowie wowie.
We're here.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on WildTalkRadio.com, RackRadioShow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. It really is that simple, everybody. I'm sorry for my voice. I'm under the weather. I got a cold this week. It's not the COVID. I've been tested. I can prove it's not the plague. But I am under the weather, so this is how I sound. I'm really, really, really sorry. But by hook or by crook, we were doing this show tonight because, God damn it, I have things to say. And you're going to hear them later in the show. I'm your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sorokin.
Yeah, the non-DMCA track. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. We have many versions that are not actual Bray Wyatt music. They're very close, but they're not.
Soak it in, because you're probably never going to hear it again.
The music that's playing right now is the PS2 version. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Linz Ward. Come to wildtalkradio.com, rockradioshow.com, or twitch.tv/WTUR live to interact with us. As Lindsay mentioned, she has opinions, and we're going to delve into them all later in the show as we do our Fortnite tier list for...
No.
We're events. We're doing the Fortnite tier list.
No,
on
no.
But I have the... It's a tier list.
No, I waited 6 days, y'all.
Okay, so we were going to.
And WWE decided to just be dicks. So we're going to talk about that later in the show. And if we never get a WWE interview because of this, I'm almost kind of okay with that. I'm not going to lie.
We're good. Anyway, let's get into news presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And there's a big story we need to get to relating to what we're going to talk about later in the show. JoJo, who has not appeared in WWE for, 4 years, is no longer under contract. It's been almost 4 years. And people were surprised. Oh, she's no longer under contract.
I'm muted. I've been talking this whole time and you're talking over me. And I'm like, why the hell is he talking over me? And then I'm like, because I'm muted. That's why. Yeah. 3 years, 4 years. She hasn't been on TV. She's been bearing Bray Wyatt's children, which good for her. So she was let go. That came out earlier this week. She was actually let go in January.
It just said months ago. Did not give a specific date.
Yeah. It was when in one of the rounds of cuts, which I'm not surprised because, again, she hasn't been on TV. Like, she had the first kid, and then she kind of was, like, making overtures of having a return to TV as a ring announcer, and then she very promptly got pregnant again. So, I think that kind of ended all of that right off the bat. I don't know, though. She could go elsewhere. I would say go for it.
I mean, if she's interested, there's many local promotions in Florida that need ring announcers. Or she could be a stay-at-home mom. Who knows? Whatever she desires, it's up to her.
Yeah, I mean, I think she seems really happy where she's at, and as long as she's happy, that's all that matters.
That really is all that matters.
But it was basically kind of the, I don't want to say the nail, because, like, for those of you that don't know, that live under a rock, Bray Wyatt's brother got let go, his father got let go, now his significant other, gets revealed that she got let go, and then, of course, what we're going to be talking about later, he gets let go, so it's literally the entire family got fired within 12 months.
I wouldn't even call it the hinge. It was just, the fact that she was earning a paycheck while pregnant and twice, good on her.
Yeah, she had signed, like, a new deal in between pregnancies, which is what led to the return, or the mounting return. And then she ended up getting pregnant really, really quickly with their second child, and that was it. And she's been home ever since, which I know the first pregnancy was really, really rough. Like, it was, I think that's the one where she had eclampsia or preeclampsia. Mm-hmm. And I think the second one was smoother. At least I hope it did, because, God, that's terrifying. For those of you that don't know what eclampsia or preeclampsia is, it's basically a condition that can kill you in childbirth. And she actually almost bled to death, I think, on the first kid.
Things weren't good.
Yeah, it was not. She did not have a good time the first time. And so she's very, very lucky. And it seems like the second one went better for her. So that's awesome and amazing. And I hope so, because that's like every woman's fear when you give birth is just that, right? Is that you're not going to come out of it, because it is a very scary, risky thing. Even though most of the time people are like, oh yeah, it's fine, it did great. There are those cases that it's like, it's not fine.
No, it's not. It's a terrible thing. There was a storyline arc about it on a show called Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip that they'd hold if you want to learn more about it. There was a whole storyline arc. It's an older show, but, you know, there you go.
You can also watch season 2 of Downton Abbey.
See, we both have examples where it was used in pop culture television.
Dang. Poor dear Lady Sybil. No, not season 2. I'm sorry, season 3.
I made sure to throw that out there for you, Brent.
But anyway, yeah, so JoJo has been unfortunately released, and hopefully she is happy and healthy, whatever she's doing. Another name of note that got let go is Ric Flair is no longer associated with WWE in any way, shape, or form. He requested his release months ago, as he was not happy, and...
So, there's an old Ric Flair promo where when he returned to Nitro, it's, fire me, I'm already fired, fire me, I'm already fired. Fire me or I quit, or change it or I quit, is the story going around about Ric Flair. So he is no longer with WWE. He's going to probably tell all eventually, and may the Four Horsemen reunite in AEW and not call themselves the Horsemen. Because trademarks. I don't know who owns the trademark. But
I have no idea.
But here we are.
But he did express his gratitude for the company. He was extremely gracious.
Yeah.
Saying that, you know, they've taken care of him. They've allowed him to sort of get back on his feet. And he is eternally grateful for that. So I think he said he's moving on to doing other ventures like a wine or something like that. But I'm sure he'll turn up in AEW. I have a little doubt.
Because everybody and their mother and father and sister and woo show up there.
And fiance.
And fiance. Even bringing back Juventud Guerrero and having a craptastic match on television. Woo, because it's Nitro 1996.
Do you feel better?
Woo!
Moving on to Impact and other notes. Chelsea Green has been announced for NWA Empower Women's Invitational Cup, so congratulations to her.
One quick other note about Empower for the women's pay-per-view. It'll be Melina versus Deonna Purrazzo for the Impact Women's Championship.
Hey.
So there's
that. And that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So check that out. Impact has also created a new membership club on YouTube. They're leaving Twitch, and they're setting up a tier system on YouTube. You can go check out their channel for more information on that.
I has details.
You has details, we'll tell.
I has a fancy press release. The first of its kind membership now available. Impact Wrestling has launched the first of kind fan membership on YouTube. Part fan club, part digital subscription service. Members of Impact Wrestling Insiders get access to a raft of premium content, brand new shows, and exclusive perks not available anywhere else. For level 1, it's priced at $0.99 US per month and gives fan access to fan loyalty badges that identify themselves as members, exclusive community posts, and each and every Thursday the promotion's flagship 2-hour show, Impact. Members of the second tier, dubbed Impact Ultimate Insider, get all the above plus access to more exclusive content, including the originals featuring the Good Brothers, Josh Alexander, Sammy Callahan, D'Lo Brown, every pay-per-view in Impact and TNA history, access to Impact Wrestling's Big Four pay-per-view events just 30 days after they take place, exclusive membership merchandise offers, exclusive live chat with Impact wrestlers, and more for the low price of $4.99 per month. Their last episode of Impact was on July 29th, weekly on Twitch.
Hey, so yeah, go check that out. Subscribe if you want. I've heard it's actually a pretty good deal.
It's a good deal for if you want content. I mean, if you don't have it on the Impact Plus membership and other sources, because they're on like Pluto and other streaming platforms as well.
And I mean, 99 cents, that's not terrible for like the base level.
Yeah, for the base level for to get Impact Day of. I mean, that's good.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So go check it out. Go subscribe if you're interested. And then moving on to AEW, AEW trading cards are coming. They're going to be by Upper Deck, and they're coming in November of 2021.
The first edition of Upper Deck AEW trading cards released November 2021, offering fans and collectors autograph and memorabilia cards from AEW's most revered icons and talented performers. This marks the first time in company history that Upper Deck will offer a set of professional wrestling trading cards. The new product line will feature wrestling legends Chris Jericho and Sting, as well as AEW World Champion Kenny Omega, the World Tag Team Champions, the Young Bucks, Women's World Champion Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, and TNT Champion Miro. Past the AEW champions Cody Rhodes, Darby Allin, Nyla Rose, and Hikaru Shida will also be featured, along with the popular AEW current and future rising stars.
Ding.
So there you go. They'll be available at hobby shops nationwide, and there'll also be e-packs. So, congrats.
So, yay! Go check that out when you get a chance. NXT?
It's time for this week's edition of the NXT Rundown.
So do you just want to start with the big thing, or do you want to just go through everything?
Let's just start with the big thing.
All right, let's go to the big thing. You know, the big thing was Love Her or Leave Her, Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis. And go.
This was a really, really entertaining match. I really like this. This is the payoff to the whole Index story to this point.
Mm-hmm.
And this all got set up because John and Candace would not give Dexter a chance. So Andy's like, all right, fight him. If he wins, you have to give him a chance. If you win, I'll never speak to him again. That's how this all got set up. And this is months and months and months and months and months of Index where they're flirting. And it's like a slow burn fit come to life. I love it. And so Johnny and Dexter had a really good match. We had Candace come out. We had Indy come out. Indy's rooting for her man. She's trying to help him.
She mentioned earlier in the night that we saw Dexter with the characters in the paintings, and there was one of him holding Indy with the words Index on it.
And magically, it became a shirt.
Available now at WWEshop.com.
And also, props to him for drawing on a music stand. I wouldn't think that would be the best surface to draw on, but...
But, you know, here we are.
It's a good prop. But yeah, so like they're wrestling. At one point, Indy gets knocked off the ring apron by Dexter gently.
Yeah, it was so soft.
Like he was being so ungodly careful with her. It was adorable. Like it was so sweet because it's like, you know, the person behind the character. He's like, okay. Don't hit her. Don't hit her that hard. Fuck. Okay, it's fine. Like it was so precious. That he just took all care of her.
Also, there was a moment where Indy joined Dexter underneath the ring. And Candace pulled her out.
Pulled them both out.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, crap.
There was also Johnny yelling at Beth at the announce table.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that. Like, where he's like, this is your fault. You encouraged this. This is all your fault. And Beth's like, she wants what she wants. Like, I'm being a good aunt, and I'm encouraging my girl here.
Pretty much that's exactly what was going on, yeah.
And Wade Barrett's just sitting there the whole time, like, fucking spare me. Just fucking spare me. The whole time. It was just, and on Twitter, it was just amazing. Because he's like, God, get me out of here, please.
But it was Love Her or Leave Her. And in the end, Johnny got the win.
And Indy's heartbroken. They collect her and they're taking her up the ramp. She keeps looking over her shoulder. Dexter's in the ring. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, go back and kiss him. Do it.
She was screaming the entire time as this was happening. Go back to the ring. Kiss him.
Go back to the ring. Kiss him. Do it. It's now or never. Do it. Because, you know, if you watch enough rom-coms, this is how this goes. And sure enough, our girl did an about face. She hauls ass back down in the ring. She jumps through the ropes. She jumps on top of Dexter.
So, the way this recap goes, she gave him a Thez press of love.
Accurate.
Very accurate.
Entirely accurate.
And just mounted him.
She did. She absolutely just mounted him. She jumped on top of him. And then they proceeded to just suck face.
As the show closed, Beth went, Index is here, and nothing can stand in their way.
So, you know, is this the end of the way? We don't know. And Johnny and Candace are looking on completely horrified.
Mm-hmm.
As any good parent would.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Austin Theory also was nowhere to be seen. So, I'm guessing this is possibly the end of the way.
Or is the way as we know it?
The way as we know it, like, will they adopt Dexter? Will they come around to him? We'll have to see. But yeah, this is perfect. I actually kind of can't wait for next week with this.
See where it goes. Other things that happened on the show, Io and Zoe went out on a lunch date and trying to become friends, and they're still not friends.
Is it wrong? I found this just a little disrespectful.
No.
Like, they went and got sushi.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically had Io do the ordering. And so Io orders all this stuff, right? And Zoe has supposedly no idea what it is. And so she's being polite. She's trying everything. But then she's spitting it out in a napkin when Io isn't looking. And she's dropping the napkins on the floor. And then there's one point where there's a squid. And she actually chucks the squid over her shoulder and throws it into, like, their display. And it falls on the floor. I was like, wow, that's really kind of disrespectful. Like, I get... And the whole basis of it was she didn't understand the menu. She didn't understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, girl, but you could download Google Translate onto your phone. And you could just translate it. Like, we have the technology. It's a thing.
Technology does exist.
So, like, and then Io sticks her at the bill at the end. But, yeah, it's just like this. I don't know. I didn't like this segment. I actually found it really super disrespectful.
Okay. Trey Baxter and Joe Gacy battle in the NXT breakout tournament match with Trey Baxter getting the win.
My asshole lost. Is very upset.
Rich Holland returned. He defeated Eichmann Giro really quick.
He stripped him of his coat.
He did.
It's very scandalous. But yeah, he looked good.
He looked good. And Pete Dunne called them the baddest men in NXT, and he dares anyone to prove them wrong.
Pete, stay. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah. Rowe beat Legado del Fantasma via DQ.
Okay, the match was fine. After the match, or before the match, after the match, is where things got weird. I think in all the years that I have watched wrestling, I have never, ever seen anybody's teeth get taken out before. Like, actually physically, like...
Grill. It was the grill, not teeth.
It was the grill, but it was their fake teeth. Like, pulled out of the man's mouth. Number one, that's nasty. Number two, aren't they, like, glued in or something?
No,
or are they removable? I don't know how those work.
It's like a mouth guard. That you can have them, like, as a mouth guard they go over. I believe.
I thought some were permanent. Like, some people have, like, diamonds and stuff.
Yeah. Some people do. But so there are also ones you can put in.
So, yeah. So, and then they're, like, displaying the grill for the camera. And I'm like, ew, you like that. That's nasty. That's not sanitary, guys.
Frankie Monet basically taking charge of Robert Stone after what happened last week.
Well, somebody has to.
Roddy and Bobby battled with Roddy getting the win.
I wish this had had more hype. I wish this had had more build. It deserved better. I'm sorry. It did. Like, there was so much history there. There was so much you could do with this. And they just sort of want it. They're like, yeah, okay, all right. It's two former members of Undisputed Era. You have that whole history. Basically, Bobby was hurt for the entirety of the implosion of Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there when Roddy took his ball and went home. Like, he just basically came back, and it's that meme of the dude walking in with the pizza boxes, and the room is on fire. That's what Bobby came back to. So the fact that you had, like, almost no resolution to that, they just moved on and never dealt with any of that, was really disappointing, because I felt like you could have built, like, a really good story for Bobby and a really good story for Roderick, especially since they're both going into singles. But they just didn't do it.
The match was good, but yeah.
The match was fine. But yeah, it's like, it's kind of disappointing.
A little bit disappointing, yeah. Also on this show, we had the latest between LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. They were backstage, and Knight said he needs to know if Grimes has his back. Grimes said if he wasn't a man's word, he wouldn't be wearing this Butler outfit. And now, of course, he has his back. Grimes, wants to know, do you have my back? And Knight's like, I got your back during the match. Now, shamma hoop. Which led to the match between LA Knight and Cameron Grimes taking on the Grizzled Young Veterans. Solid match. With the Grizzled Young Veterans getting the win.
I enjoy this way too much. But also, I'm just going to put this out here because somebody has to. You know, during the course of this match, Cameron Grimes proceeded to try to get naked. And if you know me for any amount of time, especially when it comes to wrestling, I'm a thirsty person. I'm not ashamed to admit that at all.
This is the first I'm ever hearing
Yeah,
this.
This is the first you've heard of it. I'm not saying that they have to do a tuxedo match, but, you know, there is an opportunity there at some point whenever you decide to, have Cameron and LA Knight fight again, that you could have them just rip each other's clothes off. I think everybody would be okay with that. And by everybody, I mean the people that are entirely interested in that.
After the match, Ted DiBiase showed up and checked on his boy and, you know, I told you this would happen. I told you this would happen. And then he held him as they walked to the back.
His son. His adopted redneck son. I feel like, I don't know if I can trust Ted or not, but it's kind of sweet.
It was. We had a nice video, an interview package with Dakota talking about how, you know, she helped Raquel get to where she's at. She kept watching her back. And now how when it was time to name a contender, she never chose her. So, well, she had to take things into her own hands.
So basically she put on her betrayal shorts and she betrayed Raquel. By the way, point of interest, where's the motorcycle been this entire time? Because you're telling me that you could have had Raquel and Dakota riding around on a motorcycle, both looking like bad bitches the entire time.
It's because they had the tank for a while. So you can't have the two competing badass entrances.
The tank? No. I could have had them on a motorcycle this whole time, and I feel like I got screwed. Or at least have them, like, roll up to the arena on it. Like, you're just telling me that I could have had that the entire time, and I didn't get it? I'm a little upset. I need to speak to a manager about that, because I think all of us would have been perfectly fine with Raquel and Dakota rolling up on a motorcycle together.
And one final thing, Karrion Kross came out, called out Joe. Joe, who earlier night was told, you're going to have security with you.
Because that'll help.
Joe then punched through the guards as Karrion went away, and then he choked out a guard. Who just, I think, happened to be Rick Steiner's son.
Yes.
I remember reading that.
Yes, that's true. Somebody's going to die. Like, these two were just going to kill each other. I don't know when. Well, no, that's not true. I do know when it's going to be a takeover, but yeah, this is going to be epic. Like, Joe is just going to go in and just take Karrion to his limit because, you know, Karrion's just over here just continuing to poke Joe. Just, hey, I'm going to continue to provoke you, not realizing what he's doing. And Joe's kind of doing the same thing to Karrion, and we're all here for it. So yeah, let the festivities commence on that. And I like how William Regal's like, look, I'm just going to give you guards because I have to, but I know it's not going to make a lick of difference because you're going to kill all of them. But, you know, Hunter made me, so here we are.
Yeah.
But yeah, this feud, especially building to Joe's return, I like how they're not making it like this is Joe's big return. It's just, Joe is just here to get to Karrion. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the feud, and I'm here for it.
Completely.
But I think that does it for NXT.
That, in fact, does it for NXT.
Okay, so I'm going to go cough up a hairball as we take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be doing Tweet of the Week, and I finally...
Get to do the tier list. We're doing the tier list next, right? Right?
I get to rant about Bray Wyatt, and we're going to talk all about that story, because it is the biggest story of the week, if not the month. Next. So you're listening to Rock Right Here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we'll be right back. Follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/rackradioshow.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the great and great debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f- moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop? That's ROCKNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rock on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rock right here on WildTalkRadio.com or to my friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at YouTube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RockRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be on Twitch and have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, you can use it here for free for 30 days. All you have to do is hit the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen and subscribe. It really is that simple. You can also follow the channel or hang out and chat. We are happy to have you any way we can get you. If you're just tuning in, I'm really sorry for my voice. I came down with a cold. It's not COVID. I've been tested, I promise, but this is the best we got right now. I'm drinking, like, plenty of water, trying to keep my voice going, but I had to come on the air tonight. I had to rant. I had to talk about it, because there is a huge story that we save for the back half of the show, and you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer, because we're going to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace, until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter. Until I found Twitter, ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
Hold on, I have to get to the bottom of my feed. Hold on.
Hold on. We're moving things. By the way, as you heard in the break, you can use credit card RocketSock or at Lynn's M Ward in the Fortnite item shop or Epic Game Store. Go buy your Ariana Grande skins and go check out the concert. We can't stream it, but there's a concert tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern. Check it out in Fortnite Battle Royale, which is the ultimate Battle Royale experience. Hashtag Epic Partner.
You fucking shill.
I was giving you time to get to the bottom of your feed. I was stalling.
You're very good at that. Anyway, Ko-Fan the Barbarian. Wait. You mean to tell me that Reginald isn't French?
What?
Deceiver. Imposter.
If anyone would know.
Beth Phoenix. So about that.
So about that.
Yeah.
You're making me crazy.
Kevin Owens announced that he was going to be live tweeting NXT this week. Malcolm Bivens responds.
Malcolm Bivens.
Hey, Kevin, I'm going to try and trip Bobby Fish during his entrance. Please rate and let me know what you think. I meant to DM that, my bad.
Whoops.
Kevin, all of this would have been avoided if you had just texted me.
I mean...
Dr. Lupo.
It's Lupo, man.
Welcome a new Secret Labs chair to the Lupo chair family. And he goes into the plug. Thirsty people on this post.
Okay.
Because they either want to be the chair, or they want to sit on Lupo. Or they want Lupo to sit on them.
Either way.
In ZXT, blushing face. Secret Lab, you can sit on us. Wait.
Wait a minute. Wait.
In ZXT, TFW, Lupo won't sit on you. Frowny face. Optikitch, I will literally do anything to be that chair right now. Secret Lab's response. Anything? Avery, I want someone to hold me the way Lupo holds his Secret Lab's chair. Goldie, I wish I was that chair. Kevin Owens, Dakota didn't want to be known as Raquel's sidekick, so she hit her with a sidekick. Get it? Genius. Cypher BK released his merch line. Go check it out if you're interested. And they tweeted out, okay, but this was a major flex, and it's a video of Cypher singing a basketball shot. And he goes, one take.
Right.
Manishi goes, split into two shots, my boy.
There you go.
100 Thieves, a thread. Hey, everyone. 100 Thieves social media manager here. I'm going on vacation for a week and leaving senior intern JHB team in charge. We have a ton of faith in him to succeed, but I just settle for him not to break anything while I'm gone. Please be nice to him, or don't.
Okay, gonna stop you. Dated August 3rd.
This child. 100 Thieves. 100 Thieves? What about 99 Thieves, 98 Thieves, 97 Thieves, 96 Thieves, 95 Thieves? And it goes on and on and on and on. Courage, JD. This was the worst decision we've ever made.
Wait. Just wait for it.
Valkyrie, or 100 Thieves. Valkyrie. And they just tweeted her, or tweeted a name. They didn't tag her. She goes, what? And he goes, hey, Ray, it's me, JHB. I just wanted to get your attention and figure this would work. Hope you have a great rest of your day. She responds, how are you not fired yet?
Wait.
WWE NXT, the power of love. Has Stu Bennett gotten on board with Index? And it's a picture of the match. And Mr. Bennett replies, it's a no for me. And he uses Simon Cowell. Beth Phoenix goes, lies. Renee Paquette. My mom and I spend the morning making fresh peach jam with just a pinch of cinnamon. Now we're watching Human Centipede. Hurricane Helms. He had us in the first half. 100 Thieves JBH team. His actual Twitter. Guys, I changed the @ for the 100 Thieves account for a screenshot and it accidentally took the verification badge. Oh my god, help!
3 hours ago.
3 hours ago.
So remember, August 3rd. Today is August 5th.
Optikitch. I honestly can never tell if you are the smartest or dumbest person I've ever met. And somebody responds with, a bit of both. Trevor May, if you change it back, it will reappear. Which I didn't know. That's good to know. Whips, it was nice knowing you, bud. And then a bunch of other people are just like, you couldn't just inspect element it. And then they even show, like, inspect elementing what it looks like. He had me count for, like, two days.
2 days. There's more to this.
Yeah, and apparently the 100 Thieves count, they can't change it back. They're locked out of it.
No, they have the account.
Or they're locked out of changing the username. He can't it back.
No, they have the username back. They don't have
they got it back?
They don't have the check mark yet.
He's in so much trouble.
So when he changed it, right, he also tweeted, oh no.
Yeah.
On their account.
Never again.
Cloaksy, number one apparel company gets unverified. This is crazy. Whips, LOL, imagine being verified. Couldn't be me, right? Ha ha ha, laughs in pain. Austin on Twitter, you can't change the @, you lose verification. Tip and Tap Man, think it's a bit late for that. This tip, Austin.
Yeah.
Do you have any more tweets?
No, he's fucked. Go ahead.
Okay. The one of the founders of 100 Thieves goes, 2 hours ago, this kid... JHB team changed our Twitter handle and we lost the 100 Thieves and verification. ... @RonJobinson. When do you want to have that meeting? For those who want to know that who that is, that's the CEO he was tagging. On an unrelated note, this was just sent to me by an executive at a large media company. JHB on the 100 Thieves Twitter is the funniest thing I've seen in years from a brand.
Oh lord. This poor child.
Evil Uno. Ric Flair should join the Dark Order. For real, though, let's party. Woo, man. Kevin Owens. Bivens looking like he just found a CD player after Roddy got the win there. Kevin Owens. Little known fact, I'm also a member of Dynamite Mobby, but I don't have to do anything because I wore a Malcolm Bivens shirt on SmackDown once. The other guys pay Bivens a membership fee. Kevin Owens. I wrestled Roderick Strong for the first time in 2004, and not only was he already a master of the backbreaker, he had that exact haircut too. A man who values consistency. Ninja. You're in elementary school at a sleepover with your friends and the Xbox just got turned on. What game are you playing? Darkness 429. Damn, when I was in elementary school, it was the N64 crying emoji. And when Dr. Lupo was in elementary school, it was a Commodore 64.
Damn!
Dr. Lupo, when I was in elementary school, the Abacus was just invented. Why is this tweet attacking me? And that, folks, is Tweet of the Week. Time for our Fortnite tier list. Ready? And no. Okay.
I'm going to try to get through this.
Okay, before you go, I had to break the news to her and also go to a family function. So I dropped a bomb and then I left.
After coming back from the worst pedicure I've had in probably 3 years.
That's how Saturday went. I dropped the bomb and I left.
Yeah, and I just had to sit here and watch it break all over Twitter, all over social, the whole day. That was my Saturday. Was just sitting here watching the news hit the internet that, which is the top story of the week.
Oh, and
probably the month.
And also, I told Brent first because I'd heard something and I was like, I'm avoiding telling her until it's official. And then it became official.
It became official.
So Brent knew before. Yeah. So Brent was a culprit.
Anyway, that the biggest story of the week is that Bray Wyatt got released from WWE. They did it on a Saturday.
At noon.
Which, who the fuck does that?
At noon on a Saturday. Who does that?
Yeah, it's like, you couldn't wait to do that, or you couldn't do it on a Friday. They also did it after Vince made some really rather snide remarks about sending AEW more talent on the quarterly review call, so they didn't have to explain it.
On Thursday, which so happened to be the day he got cleared.
Yeah. So let's kind of talk about what led to this. It still remains to unclear to everybody but WWE who did it, why they did it. But the official supposed reason that's being given is due to budget cuts, which is the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard in my life. Because why? Why? No, wait, I'm going to go through the list and I'm going to rant. I'm going to hold it.
She's edging you, chat. You gotta wait for it. You gotta wait for it. You just gotta wait.
But it's bullshit. So, back in 2020, Bray and Braun signed deals. Multi-million-dollar deals. Big deals.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2020, up until the pandemic, Bray was super-duper hot. Right? Like, he was the hottest thing they had. He was all over the merchandising. He was all over the marketing. He was everywhere. The Fiend was selling merchandise out faster than they could make it. They did all this specialized merch for him. They did everything for him. He made the money hand over fist. So when Bray's deal came up, they were like, yeah, okay, we're going to sign you to a really big, thick-ass contract because you're making us a fuck ton of money. Fast forward a year later.
Could you say they signed him to a husky contract?
Yes, it was very husky. They punted him right out of the company.
Yeah. Because he had voices in it.
Anyway, so Bray ran into some issues last year. One of his children was born. I think the second kid was born. So he took time off for that. And then he was kind of around and they ran the whole Alexa Bliss storyline and that was a whole big deal. And then December happened and nobody officially knows what happened there. But basically they wrote Bray off TV for an indeterminate amount of time. Oh, hey, look, the Cowboys lost.
She said it, I didn't, and he already left, so it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But anyway.
The Cowboys don't matter at all. Just pointing that out.
December comes. He gets written off TV. And we know the unfortunate events of December. Luke Harper passed away. Or I should say Brody Lee passed away. And Bray was very good friends with Brody Lee. There were rumors that he was really heavily impacted by that. As he should have been. Because that's one of his very dear friends. And he was having a hard time getting back on his feet with it. And he was having some mental health issues. But there's no confirmation of that whatsoever. But basically what happened is from December to WrestleMania, Bray Wyatt did not appear on WWE TV at all. Leading up to WrestleMania, he appeared on programming exactly 3 times. In a new outfit where he looked like a toasted marshmallow, and then he re-debuted, he debuted the new Fiend look at Mania. He looked like a badass. He looked like a rock star. They had him lose, which nobody liked. They got booed out of the building for it. He appeared on Raw, and that was the last time anybody ever saw Bray on TV. There was no reason given as for why he was being held off TV. It was presumed that it was because they were returning to the road soon and they wanted to re-debut the Fiend in front of fans. That was in fact the plan, because he had been listed on like the ticket sites for the tours, like the Fiend's going to be coming to your town kind of thing.
August 9th he was scheduled to return to Monday Night Raw as he was in promotion for that show back in June when they released tickets.
He was gearing up for it. He was getting ready to go, and then boom, he gets released.
Actually, going to take you one step back. Last week, we saw a new picture of Bray had come out, and he got in fantastic shape. They probably saw him in Pittsburgh, where he got cleared.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked in fantastic shape. He was...
Yeah, he's lost a lot of weight. He looks wonderful. Because that was the other rumor, was that when Bray came back in Mania, Vince was not happy with the way that he looked. And so it was, they kept him off TV until he could get into better shape.
Supposedly,
there's no basis for that at all. But that's one of the rumors. Bray was dealing with an injury. Nobody knows what it was, but he was cleared.
An ailment. He had an ailment.
A physical ailment that was undisclosed.
whatever you want to call that.
Which was not a concussion. They were very clear to state it was not a concussion.
Because usually when people are out, that's what the people assume.
So, but he did get cleared, only to get fired. It's also rumored that his relationship with Vince was hot and cold, which I could see because you have two very creative people. Bray is very opinionated about his character. He's very protective of his character. That was another rumor, that he had gotten too protective of it. He wasn't receptive to creative ideas because he did have a level of control. And so they decided enough was enough, and they got rid of him. There's no basis of truth in that, based on what anybody can tell. But obviously the result of this is that the locker room was blindsided, to say the least. Bray was blindsided, to say the least. This was not requested, as is obvious. And the locker room doesn't feel exactly secure now, because they basically let go of Bray Wyatt, who is one of their top merch sellers. He's one of the top ticket sellers. You know, he's an attraction. He's all over the marketing. He's a huge deal to that company. And they let him go, supposedly due to budget cuts. And yeah, if I were that locker room, based on everything that's happening, I wouldn't feel good either. I'd be really nervous right now.
Also, the networks, they were not happy with the release either. They called it, according to one source, disappointing. Really disappointing and a little scary about top stars being released. As people heard on Monday Night Raw, we heard, "We want Wyatt chance" from the crowd. Keep that going, guys. Any town they're in, keep it going. Make it known you want Wyatt.
I know they're doing whatever they have to do to stay in the black. Supposedly, that's what I keep getting told, is that Nick Khan is going to continue to make decisions based on how to keep the company profitable. And Bray was an expensive act because he had a lot of props. He had, there's a lot that went with him, as opposed to some of the other talent who are much more simpler and easy to just have. They actually had to transport like the Funhouse set for him and the puppets for him. He had the two entrances. He had all this stuff, right? So I could see how, from that standpoint, he's expensive and you want to get rid of him. But at the same time, it's like you hadn't had him on TV for 8 months, 7 months. Mania doesn't count. And he wasn't making you any money as a result. So I think it's a little unfair. And frankly, I think it's bullshit, because it's like he's someone that, especially as you're going out on the road, could drive ticket sales, could drive merch sales. Like, people were buying stuff up for him at the shows before he got let go. And then they're like, yeah, no, fuck it. We're out. We're kicking him to the curb. I guess, from my standpoint of it, I'm trying not to be mad about it, because I don't want to be that, like, fan that I get really super pissed. But at the same time, it's like, I've invested 12 years in this man. Like, y'all don't even know, the love started way the hell back when he was Husky Harris. And it's carried forward. And I haven't liked everything he's done. Right? I haven't been a fan of it because it hasn't resonated, but I've been there, right? Still watched every week, still supported him, you know, even if it wasn't always my thing. I just don't understand this. This feels really stupid to me. This feels like a huge mishandling of talent. It's like it's another example of whoever is handling talent relations doesn't know what the fuck they're doing. Which I don't want to accuse anybody of that because I don't do that job, right? I don't know how to assess talent. But when you see the people that they're letting go and the people that they're mistreating, it's like Karrion Kross. What the hell are you guys doing there? I know it's about the story, but it's not. Because you're telling a shit story. You just let go, in terms of Bray Wyatt, one of your top acts. One of your top draws. You just kicked him to the curb. This is a guy that you don't kick to the curb, that you hold on to, because this fucker right here gave you no less than three profitable, marketable gimmicks. Three. Do you know how rare that is? Excuse me. In that company to do that, where you have somebody that can reinvent themselves, at least, and he reinvented himself at least like five times. Three of the gimmicks were ultra successful. One of the gimmicks was just so-so. It was the Deleters of Worlds, but it was still successful, right? But it's like you had the Swamp iteration. You had the Funhouse. You had the Fiend. He invented all of that. All of that came out of his brain, right? This man is so stupidly talented in terms of how creative he is, how original he is, just how utterly engaging and charming he is. Like, this idiot could charm the skirt off a nun, okay? Like, he's that good. Why? Why would you let him go? Especially when you're supposedly not in competition, but fuck it, you're in competition. You just handed either Impact or AEW the biggest gift you could ever give them. Because, fuck, even if he doesn't appear in their shows, he could run their fucking creative. Like, this is a guy who loves and gets the business. He understands it. He grew up in it. This is his life. This is everything. Like, this just, I'm sorry, like, I don't want to be that person, but this is just such utter bullshit. It is. And it makes no sense to anybody. Anybody, that's the thing. Nobody gets this. Nobody understands why they did this. Like, the networks are confused. The talent are confused. I'm sure Bray is confused. I'm confused. Rock's confused. The fans are confused. Like, nobody gets why they did this. Nobody. Somebody said in chat, it sounds like he pissed off somebody in the office. He may have. I don't know. Like, it seems like it's really personal that they did it on a Saturday at noon instead of doing a batch release. Right? They just list a bunch of names and Bray's name is in there like they did Braun. But it just feels like they did him so fucking dirty after everything he gave to that company. Everything. They just did him so wrong. And all I can say is like, what the fuck? Why? Like, who's making these decisions? Why was this decision made? Like, why couldn't you go to Bray and maybe they did and he said no? But why didn't you try to restructure the deal? Why didn't you say to him, hey, look, this is what we need from you and see if he'd be willing to do it. And if he says no, he says no. But like, why would you just let him go? Like, why? Because going back to the networks, Fox and USA were fucking fighting over him at one point because he was that much of an attraction. He still is. Like, he puts eyeballs on TVs because it's so different. It's so unique to the business. Nobody is doing the Fiend. No one. No one has anything even remotely close to it. No one's doing the Funhouse with the puppets. No one. No one has anything close to it. It's that much of an attraction. And you just let go of it. All of it. Why? Like, you know, it's like most releases you can kind of justify. This one you can't. You can't. There's no, and budget cuts doesn't work here because I'm sorry, that's bullshit. If he wasn't making you money or if he was too expensive for you, put his ass back on TV. Put him in a feud, put him back on TV, release merch for him, boom, there you go. Problem solved. He's earning his keep. But the fact that y'all kept him off TV from December to Mania and then Mania to now, and you did sweet fuck all with him, that's not his fault. That's a creative fault and that's a mismanagement fault. And he should not be punished for that. I'm sorry, he shouldn't. Because prior to that, with all the stuff with Alexa, he just gave them a whole new revenue stream with fucking Alexa, with the storyline. They have a whole new thing with her now. He reinvented her, or helped to reinvent her, because she helped too, but, like, he completely reinvented her and gave them a whole new character. And they're just like, yeah, okay, thanks, bye. Like, I'm not even pissed off. I'm just mad. Because it's like, I had so much invested in him from just a fan standpoint. And I don't want to cry about it because I don't want to be that person because I feel like a little silly and stupid crying about a person that doesn't know I exist and doesn't care if I exist. But like, I had 12 years wrapped up in that asshole. 12 years. Good, bad, or indifferent. Followed his career. Like, fuck, I saw Bray Wyatt before he ever fucking hit TV. Out in Salt Lake when they were bringing him up. He was out there in those tacky-ass orange pants, but there he was, and he was amazing. And he's wonderful, and I remember coming back and telling everybody on the network, holy shit, they have this guy, and he's just incredible. And someone's like, oh, that's Bray Wyatt. He's on NXT, because at that point, NXT wasn't national. It was on the local cable access and I think Hulu, and I didn't have the money for Hulu subscription then. But it was like, there he was. And ever since then, it was like, yeah, let's do this. Like, it's just, I don't even want to say I'm not mad, I'm disappointed, because I'm mad. And I'm disappointed. Like, this is so just stupid of them. I'm sorry, but it is. It's a stupid mistake. And I would hope that they would rectify it, but I don't think they're going to. I think they've kicked him to the curb. And I think they've handed AEW the biggest fucking Christmas gift they can get. Or the biggest Halloween present they could get. Because here's the thing. His 90-day clause expires on fucking Halloween. And I know... And here's the thing that's tricky with him. Is if they don't pull him back, right? If they don't realize the error of their ways. And go, oh shit, we made a mistake. We need to bring Bray back. He can't do the Fiend. He can't do the Funhouse Bray. And he probably will not do it. He's going to come up with something completely new and completely different and completely out there. And whoever the fuck made those deepfakes of him without a beard, you need to take that off the internet right now because he looks terrifying. That's just, you shouldn't do that man like that. Like, that's just rude. But also, to anybody out there, to the people out there that were like, oh yeah, you could have somebody find the Fiend mask and be find the Fiend the day, or become the Fiend the day he got fired. Like 2 hours after he got fired. Y'all need to go sit in the corner. He wasn't cold yet. Like, no. Nobody should pick up the Fiend gimmick. Nobody should become the Fiend. They should not do to him what they did to Suicide in TNA. They should not. That's not how that works. Because I promise you, it will not be the same and it will not be as good because the person that created it isn't there to do it. I wouldn't say Bray won't go back. No, Bray would go back because Bray's not stupid. Unless Tony or someone else is willing to pay him as much fucking money as possible, he will take WWE's money because boy's got commitments that he has to handle and he has to take care of. Like, I'm sure he understands on some level, and I don't want to speak for him because, again, I don't know him. He doesn't know me. That he understands that it's a business deal, like anybody does when you get fired. Like, you get upset and you get mad and you get hurt, right? Because it's like, fuck, what do I do now? But you understand ultimately that there was a business decision involved and it's not necessarily anything personal. You just don't. You know that. Unless this case it was personal and then fuck them. But like, so I think if WWE came back and they offered him a contract again, he would probably consider it, considering that, you know, now he has to find work, and in a pretty scary pandemic world where we don't know what the state of pro wrestling is going to be in a month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, a year, you know, any contract might be a good deal for him. But he has 90 days to think about it. He has 90 days to figure it out. And here's the thing, he is the type of person also that he doesn't necessarily have to go back to professional wrestling. He could go into broadcasting, he could go into TV, he could go into movies, he could go into any type of media environment and thrive and be completely fine because he is that talented and he is that smart. Like, it just setting the talent aside, the man is genius. He knows what he's doing, and he knows, and best of all, he knows how to put his ideas across to people. He knows how to sell them, he knows how to market them, and he knows how to get them out there. And he can do it in a way that it's going to make whoever gets him a lot of money, and it's going to make him a lot of money, I hope. But wherever he goes, if he signs with Tony, take the handcuffs off, give him creative control, and just let him go. And I hope he shines. I hope he shines so stupidly bright that everybody at WWE regrets their decision if they don't sign him back. Because he deserves it. Because again, this whole thing was bullshit. This whole thing was crap. And nobody understands why they did it. Like, I'm sorry. And I know I said it, but I'm going to say it again. Budget cuts does not carry water in this instance. Because he's a moneymaker. Like, Braun you can kind of buy. Everybody else you can kind of buy. But in this, this can't be defended. This was just, we're going to let him go. And the decision to let him go was made a while ago. They were actually considering releasing him in the last round of cuts, and they didn't do it. Here they did it. So, and I'm sad that he's gone. And it's like, for me, as a wrestling fan, I kind of have to reassess what I watch. Because one of the main reasons I watched Raw was for Bray. And I know there are a lot of other really talented, amazing people on that show, but they don't do it for me like what Bray did. It's kind of like I watched WWE for years because of Kenny the Undertaker, and then Bray came along and kind of bridged that gap for me, and now they're all gone. And I don't know if there's anybody on Raw or SmackDown that necessarily holds my interest the way that those three did. So I'm going to have to think about it from a viewer standpoint of, do I still want to watch 3 hours of Raw that I'm not necessarily interested in watching every week? I've stopped watching SmackDown because they put it on a fucking Friday, and I have dinner with my family on Fridays. And by the time I get home, it's over, and I miss it. And I know I can watch it on DVR if I want, but I have other stuff to do during the week. I have other stuff I have to watch during the week, so 9 times out of 10, I don't see SmackDown anymore. I catch up on it for pay-per-views and previews and stuff like that, and we have to do them for the show, but it's like, otherwise, I'm not watching it. Because it's not a convenient time for me. The only thing I really come in consuming is NXT. And I'll keep watching that, but I gotta think about Raw. I really have to think about it. Because I don't know if I want to keep watching it. Like, that's how pissed off I am about this. And again, I don't want to be that fan that's like, oh, I'm gonna stop watching WWE. No. But it's like, I'm not gonna sit here and waste 3 hours of my time watching something that I don't want to watch. Because the person that I want to see isn't there. Hasn't been there all year. But I've sat through it. One, because we do a show about it. But two,
Monday, 11 p.m. Eastern. Ding.
Ding. But two, in the hopes that he's the really vain hope that he's going to show up. And he never did. And yeah. So it's not unwatchable. It's better with crowds. But I have to think about it. And I have to really look at it and decide what I want to do and where I want to go from here. But yeah, I mean, if you're like me and you want him back and you feel like he deserves better, which, given everything that, like, I know it's like not everybody gets the grand send off, but like, they fucked him. They fucked him really super hard in this instance. He didn't deserve this at all. And I have no shame in saying that. Like, nobody deserves to get fired. Nobody deserves to lose their job in this case. But like, y'all really couldn't work it out. Y'all really couldn't find a way. You just kicked him to the curb like he was trash. And that's some shit. I'm sorry. It is, because he was the poster child for NXT. He was the proof that the system worked. Because y'all didn't do shit with him when he was Husky Harris. You sent him back down. You almost fired him then. Thanks, John Laurinaitis. He rebuilt himself. He recreated himself. He created the Bray Wyatt character. He got involved with the Wyatt family. They came up with that idea. He came back up with it. That ran its course. They mismanaged the fuck out of that. He went back off TV due to personal issues, came back with The Fiend and The Funhouse, and had been riding high ever since, up until the pandemic. And then they're like, yeah, okay, yeah, we're just gonna fire you. So, you know, thanks for everything. Bye. At least I hope they said thank you. They didn't. It's rude. But yeah, I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
Oh, hi.
Sorry, I just kind of, like, ranted.
Hi, chat. Hi. You all good? We all doing good? Okay. One, the journey with Bray Wyatt is not over. Well, the journey with Wyndham Rotunda is not over.
Yeah.
Whatever he does going forward is his choice, and we all know he'll be a creative force wherever he goes. Whether it's back with the company in a Samoa Joe-type situation, or, you know, heads to Jacksonville and meets up with Tony Khan. Whatever it may be. Lindsay's pretty much on the ball in terms of, it sucked. It was a terrible decision, because you look around, you hear things, and we've talked about it a lot.
Probably more than we should have, but you know.
But you look
around. I'm bitter.
She's bitter. But no, I'm talking about criticism with the company. It's, look at the Iconics, right? We all thought it was a bad idea that they split them up, right? Then it comes out, it was Peyton Royce's idea. Oh, that was a good punch. But you look around and you could justify releases. When you split up the hot act, they're gone. Whatever. You they're low card, you're gone. Him, it's like, he's creative. You're missing the boat here. You're going to regret this decision. And there's going to be other decisions to regret. But creatively, he's someone you could rely on into the future. And in the wrestling business, you never say never. Look at the man who's been WWE champion. Both of them in the last year. Both of them were fired. Both became champion when they came back. Life can come full circle. Because money talks and, you know, everything can be made better. Will it in this case? I don't know. I don't hold the future in my hands like he does with the intro. If he ends up in AEW, I believe he'll be wildly successful. If he ends up with Impact, good on him. That's not the place to be, but to each their own. Like I said at the top of the show, if you chant "We want Wyatt," keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do, they'll notice. And that's the best. Social media is one thing because everyone can jump on a trend, right? But if they hear you in person, because for the first time in a year, they can, let it be known. Don't do it where you're trying to take over the show, but make it known, hey, we want him instead of that guy. So yeah, it sucks. It really, really sucks. I'm frustrated, but what can you do?
There's nothing you can do, but it sends the completely wrong message to talent everywhere. Not just on your roster, but people that are considering signing. We do not value talent. We do not value creativity. We do not value hard work. We don't care how much money you make us. Because in the end, they just proved anybody and everybody in that company is expendable.
Which is why the locker room went, wait. Because everyone knows every year they do the releases. And people understand sometimes the friends get cut. But you can justify it.
If the networks take notice, LeMans, they will. Because he's someone that the networks used for, that's the thing. He was part of the marketing scheme.
Okay, I'll put it this way. Log on the Peacock right now. If you go to This Week in WWE, guess what's up there? Brian Alexa, still on the network. He's marketing. That's the thing. They have all, he was a marketing chip and networks knew it. Networks will now question, hey, if we spend money on a marketing campaign featuring this talent, that talent, will this and that talent be there in 6 months?
Well, Braun's the same way. Braun was featured in the plans and we just did a book review where he's all over it.
Mm-hmm.
He's gone. Braun was all in the marketing. Braun was their guy until he wasn't.
So the networks are wondering, okay, if we're gonna promote this program with this talent better be there. And you know, if they're not, the networks will be mad, and that's why they're mad. And you know, they've cheered for they've cheered for names. I mean, I was CM Punk for years, but guess what? CM Punk quit. That was a whole different story.
Like the networks weren't even notified. The networks were blindsided, just like everybody else. That's what makes this really shocking. Is that nobody saw this coming except for me. I had concern.
She had many a concern.
Because he hadn't been on TV in 8 months and they're firing people left, right, and center. And it's like, is Bray okay? Is Bray going to be okay? Yeah, Bray's going to be fine. Wait, but wouldn't Bray be fine?
Well, because we listed all the logical reasons why he would be.
You can't see it, but I'm looking into the camera like The Office.
I know.
But yeah, excuse me. I'm trying to suppress it. They just blindsided everybody with it. And that's why
it's frustrating.
It's baffling.
Mm-hmm.
Because normally you hear rumors, right? That so-and-so's gonna get fired, right? That trickles out and you see that. And then when it happens, you're not as surprised. This was literally out of left field at noon on a fucking Saturday. Talk about fucking somebody's weekend.
Yeah.
Especially when he was getting ready to come back.
So, we wish him the best.
I love you, Bray Windham. You'll never hear this, but... And please know when I call him an idiot and an asshole, I mean it with love.
Yes. Yes, she does.
It's meant with love. It's not, I'm actually calling him an asshole. That's my way of expressing love. Which is weird, but is what it is. But yeah, I hope, like I said, I hope wherever he goes, he shines. Because he deserves to, and he will. And I hope they regret it. I don't say that a lot, but I hope fucking WWE regrets it. Every fucking day. I hope he makes them sorry. And I know that's vindictive as shit as me, but y'all, I'm gonna be real. They never did right by him. They had a fucking gold mine twice. Twice! And they did better by The Fiend, and they capitalized on it. But ultimately, it wasn't enough. So Wyndham, if I'm allowed to call you that, fuck it up, sir. Fuck it up hard. When 90 days are up, show them what they missed out on. Light it up. And I'm going to have to start watching fucking AEW, which is pissing me off. That's the other side of it, is if he doesn't get signed back, I have to start watching wherever he goes.
Ha 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 ha. Super Kick Party.
Hey, I don't have to watch it with the sound on, so it might be better. I don't know.
We good?
But anyway, I'm good. It'll come out in other spurts, but I've held it in for 6 days. I hope everybody was satisfied with that, and it was what you wanted to hear. It was certainly much less rage-filled than what I intended it to be, but also, as you can tell, my voice is my voice, and it will only let me do so much. So, with that, I say we're done.
This has been The Rock Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Saturday Night Midnight Edge, another episode of Steve Radio, episode 700. That's a lot of content. Midnight Edge. Before that, we Four Night with Friends. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio returns live at 10 p.m. Eastern. Monday night's The Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to preview NXT TakeOver, I think. Yeah?
Oh, yeah, we're going to do NXT.
No, I think, no, I'm talking in turn. Yeah, next week is the one. Yeah, next week we'll preview TakeOver if we have enough card up to do. Because that's, you know, a thing. Anyway, Rock Radio Show on all social media platforms. Oh, cool, Twitch is dying. Cool, so that means we need to shut up. at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account, it's called Prime Gaming. You can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangle button below the screen. You can also use creator code RocketSock or
Linz M. Ward
in the Fortnite item shop.
Why? Because we are hashtag epic partners. And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linz Ward, LINSWRD. Everybody, if you get a chance, check out our very fine folks over at mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211. Because they're awesome and they're amazing, and he just did a recreation of the Boneyard match, which is insane. So please go drop a like on that and tell him how fabulous it is, because he did a wonderful job. So we love you, Matt. And yeah, so everybody, I hope you enjoyed. We will see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. So you're listening to The Rock right here on wildtalkradio.com. He's Rock, I'm Lindsay. And I'm going to go, like, blow my nose. Bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.